Good morning, Texas Tech. I'm Josh Cook, and on today's show, we'll be going over what makes Lubbock's weather so unpredictable.
And I'm Julie Fisher. Later in the show, we'll be joined by special guests, Dr. Ernst Kiesling from the College of Engineering, KTXT's Derek Ginter, and meteorologist Jody James.
I'm Marissa Trevino, and today's fun fact to continue on with our weather theme is this week is Severe Weather Awareness Week. Kira Powell and Cutter Martin have KTXT News and Weather next.
Doors.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with a look at your KTXT News update. A Lubbock man was injured after being hit by a car late Saturday. According to KCBD, 50-year-old Francisco Ferreira failed to yield the right of way as he was attempting to cross Avenue Q. 25-year-old Tara Roderick was traveling southbound with her two children in the car and was unable to stop in time. Ferreira was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. No one in the vehicle was hurt. It was that accident Lubbock officers were working when a patrol car was hit by a drunk driver. The driver of that car, Anthony Perez. That accident happened in the 4700 block of Avenue Q. M. Dwayne Nellis is the sole finalist for the presidency of Texas Tech University. That announcement was made after a meeting with the Texas Tech Board of Regents last week. Nellis is the current president of the University of Idaho. Chancellor Kent Hance said, quote, Dwayne Nellis is a visionary leader with an outstanding record of accomplishment in higher education. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Temperatures are starting out 10 to even 15 degrees above average this morning, with most locations in the upper 40s and 50s. Certainly don't need too heavy of a coat as you head out the door. And this warm trend will continue through the afternoon as highs climb to the mid and upper 70s for most of us. Maybe a few 80-degree readings similar to Sunday south of the city of Lubbock. And along with these rising temperatures, you can expect rising wind gusts, possibly gusting over 40 miles per hour by mid-afternoon, creating areas of blowing dust. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT forecast. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Raining men, Kiara.
Scared. I'm so scared.
I had a lot of fun with the bump music.
Well, it's weather-themed music, so I only got to pick out one song.
I didn't even mention rain in it. Anyway, we...
My song?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have had some severe weather lately, which is awesome, since we now have something to talk about during our... Severe Weather Awareness Week show. I don't know if y'all remember, but we got last Monday off because we had a blizzard. So we went around and asked some people what they did with their valuable time off.
My name's Cutter Martin. I'm with KTXT, and we're wondering what you did during the blizzard last Monday.
What I did during the blizzard on Monday is I took advantage of it, did my homework because I had an exam that day. So what I took advantage of is did my other homework so I don't fall behind. Everyone else was sleeping, but I decided I should focus on my studies more and get my stuff done.
How studious are you?
I try to be as studious as I can.
Well, I went outside and me and my friends from try to build a snowman that was SpongeBob, which didn't work, of course. And then we drank hot cocoa, we had snowball fights, and it was basically it.
Sounds like a pretty fun day, though.
Yes.
I'm Cutter Martin with KTXT, and we're wondering what you did during the blizzard last Monday.
Well, it was my 21st birthday, so I went and had fun.
Did the snow have any effect on your fun?
It didn't, actually. I wasn't driving, so...
Well, that's good.
That's
good.
It was.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Well, I woke up, and I saw that it was snowing, and I looked outside, and I was amazed by the snow. Then I just went back to sleep.
I went outside to build a snowman, and that was really fun. And then after that, I just stay in the room the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Too cold outside to stay out there, right?
Yeah, I couldn't stay there longer than an hour. So.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
I was amazed by the snow. I don't know.
He had never seen it before.
I was amazed. And then I went back to sleep because of my amazement.
He was probably...
Well, I think
he's probably from West Texas. He probably doesn't see snow very often.
I'm sorry, from South Texas, I've never really seen that much snow ever in life.
I think if someone did not pay attention to the weather or Facebook or Twitter or anything the night before and just woke up blindly the next morning to get up and go to school and walked out the door, I'd be pretty amazed that there's a blizzard outside going on, too.
It didn't sound like he like got out of bed. He just looked out the window and was like, wow. All right, back to sleep. Done.
We called off last Monday's show because of the weather. And that whole night, we were all texting each other, do we need to come in? Do we need to be ready? I don't know. All of us were out of town. We were traveling back into town. Marissa, we didn't even know if she was in Lubbock.
People thought I was still in Dallas.
Josh drove back. Kiara just gave up and stayed in Midland.
Sure did. San Antonio was beautiful, and I stayed there an extra day.
I drove 5.5 hours, and Kira couldn't even come like an hour. Was it an hour and a half from
Midland?
2 hours.
2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Be fair.
Long 2 hours.
I flew in Sunday afternoon. It was 68. I got off the plane, wore some shorts, played some tennis. I don't know how to play tennis. I didn't actually play tennis, but I could have.
I didn't actually play tennis, no.
And then I woke up the next morning and there was like a foot of snow out.
See, my plane landed at like 9:10 and I thought we were going to die on the like plane ride down when we were landing. It was so bad.
I just feel like we live in West Texas. We're not supposed to get snow, especially not that kind of snow. And so I'm always a little bit offended by the
offended
weather.
By yes. The weather?
It broke
like... an over 30-year record out at Lubbock International Airport. The old record was 1.82 inches of snow, and they had 3.5 inches, so it pretty much doubled it.
Here's what I have to say. People in Montana right now are laughing at us because we say we had a blizzard.
Well, but it is a blizzard for us. We don't get snow.
Every accident I've ever had has been in the snow.
Well, it's not even the snow that's the problem. It's the ice that's underneath the snow. Because you can drive through snow just fine. It's the ice that you hit with your tires, and then people are sliding like bumper cars all over the road, yeah. And then ambulances are tipping on their side.
I know. I almost flew off the loop. It was really scary.
Why were you on the loop? They had closed
most
of the loop.
This happened a couple years ago on Thanksgiving. Chill out.
Well,
it was really scary.
Okay, well, Matt is our news director. He's from New York.
He's our news director?
Music director. My bad.
You almost gave him two new titles within 20 seconds.
Anyways.
I'm a jack of all trades. I do a little of everything.
Okay, so what did you think of this blizzard?
I loved it. I loved the snow.
But was it a blizzard?
I mean, you know, for these people, I understand that when the snow comes down, the world stops here, but... what Josh was describing, people sliding and ambulances tipping, that sounds like a carnival of death. I didn't see any of that.
There was one UMC ambulance that I guess hit a patch of ice, and luckily there's no actual injured person in the back. It was just the paramedics who then had to be picked up by another ambulance to go to the hospital. So
the key in ice, and I guess this is counterintuitive, is you're not really supposed to use your brakes.
No, but people slam
that might
on
be
them.
The worst advice I've
so
ever given.
So is it like
but
skiing with your car?
I guess. If you brake, it
skiing
slides. Like around turns, you should keep your foot on the pedal a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you start sliding, if you need to turn, you actually turn your tires into the slide. It sounds weird, but you turn it into the slide, and that will correct your car. So essentially, you're turning against your slide.
The best way to avoid slipping on ice?
Not driving.
Don't get out of bed.
There you go.
That's what I did. I didn't slip. I didn't even get cold.
I took my cat outside and let her play in the snow, and she was really ticked off at me.
So was my dog. I let her off the like leash to let her like play a little because other dogs were playing. She ran right back inside, and I was like, "You little brat!" So when I was in the snow by myself,
my cat just kind of stood there and just looked at me. It was just like, nope, not doing it.
Snow's not made to go out in. I'm just convinced. We're trying to build a SpongeBob-inspired snowman.
Kira's a fun killer.
I'm not a fun killer. My kids can go outside, my future children at some point, if they want to, in the snow. I'm not going to join you. I think it's dumb.
I love how this whole snow blizzard thing started out as, hey, we might get a little snow, might get maybe half an inch. All of a sudden, there's 3 inches on the ground. I'm like, all right, cool.
In some places, there were more than 3 inches.
Yeah, there's 4 or 5.
Well, it drifted.
6 inches up to Amarillo.
I was just very surprised that not as many... I didn't hear as many ambulances that day as I expected to hear. And by the afternoon, it was cleared up.
Oh, yeah.
It was gone and swam.
They
in
said
the
it
streets.
Was worse. That's why I didn't come back.
They were lying. But I bet you enjoyed your day off. All right. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Ernst Kiesling from the College of Engineering, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Texas Tech Wind Engineering Program. We'll be right back.
Local underwriting support for KTXT comes from Domino's Pizza, offering pan pizza, breadsticks, wings, and more. Serving Lubbock with 7 locations, Domino's can take your order by telephone or the internet. Orders are available for pickup or delivery. Domino's near Texas Tech is available by calling 806-763-3030, and other locations served online at dominoes.com.
Spring severe weather season is quickly approaching. When the skies go dark, know when to go, where to go, and how to keep yourself safe during severe and hazardous weather by listening to KTXTFM's accurate and dependable severe weather updates. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881, or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXTFM. We will help you weather the storm.
Hey Lubbock, this is David Wolverton.
And I'm Justin Laney. We're the hosts of the Red Raider Rundown Sports Talk Show. From Texas Tech Athletics to national headlines, we have you covered here on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
Join us every Tuesday, Thursday at 5 p.m., bringing you the classiest sports talks in Lubbock.
You stay classy, Lubbock.
Wait until the middle of a cold, dark night. Skyrockets in flight.
Underwriting support for KTXT-FM is provided in part by United Supermarkets. Serving West Texas and the Texas Panhandle, United Supermarkets has 10 store locations in Lubbock, including United Supermarkets, Market Street, Amigos, and United Express. More information is available online at unitedtexas.com.
Welcome back to our second segment of Good Morning Texas Tech. Get in on the conversation at the Raider 881 on Facebook and Twitter. We are here with Dr. Ernst Kiesling talking about the Wind Engineering Department. But before we get to him, we have a package put together by one of our students.
The tornado warning remains in effect for Lubbock, Western Crosby, Floyd, and Southern Hale counties until 10 p.m. tonight.
We're getting one steady electricity storm. It's just lighting this. There's one up there, and just keeping the whole sky lit up.
You advise the police department in Ottawa to sound the warning sirens for a possible tornado.
Cloud southeast just dropped 2 hooks a minute ago.
Sea level, we've been hit.
There's some people trapped in the house.
A possible tornado was indicated by radar.
Raining real heavy out of 289.
And a funnel cloud has been observed in the same area.
May 11th, 1970, a date that many Lubbock residents still recall to this day. During the evening of May 11th, around 9:30, a quickly developing severe thunderstorm that formed just south of the city moved north and produced a destructive tornado that touched down just south and east of Texas Tech's campus. The tornado then moved north and east, leaving a path of death and destruction throughout downtown before eventually dissipating near Lubbock's Preston Smith International Airport. In its wake, 26 people lay dead, and over $100 million worth of damage lay strewn throughout the city's core. But in true Red Raider fashion, a tragedy was turned into something positive. Because of this deadly natural disaster, Texas Tech's Wind Science and Engineering Research Center and Department was founded. Dr. Richard Peterson, Emeritus Professor of Tech's Wind Science Program, joins us with more on the early years of the program and just how the tornado of May 11th, 1970 influenced the development of this program.
I came here in the fall of 73.
we moved into what was the VA tower in 76. But what happened was that on May 11th, 1970, there was this devastating tornado across the north side central area of Lubbock. It was the largest dollar damaging tornado up until that time in U.S. history. The foremost tornado researcher for decades was Ted Pagetit, and he flew down here and did a survey and wrote a short article, and so that gave a lot of prominence to it. And actually some analyses of the damage swaths in the tornado were instrumental in him coming up with the idea that big tornadoes have smaller embedded tornadoes. He called them suction vortices. Shortly after that, too, he came up with the damage scale, so-called Fujita scale, which a few years ago was modified or enhanced mostly under the stimulus of Texas Tech structural engineers here.
Millions of dollars in research grants, several notable and now very successful graduates, and a history full of accomplishments later, Texas Tech now has a program to be exceedingly proud of. For Good Morning Texas Tech, I'm Cutter Martin.
Very well put together piece by Cutter Martin about the Wind Engineering Research Center here at Texas Tech, and a person that has had his hand in that for the last 48 years or so, Dr. Ernst Kiesling. Thank you so much, Dr. Kiesling, for joining us this morning on Good Morning Texas Tech.
Thank you for asking me.
I guess you were here in Lubbock when the 1970 tornado tore through the town.
I had just returned to Texas Tech. I had some previous experience here, but I had just returned to Texas Tech in the fall of 1969 as chairman of the Civil Engineering Department.
What do you remember about that day, May 11th, when the tornado touched down here in Lubbock?
Memories are pretty vivid. We had a group of young faculty who were poised to do research but had little going. But when we got out the morning after the tornado and looked at the damage caused by the tornado, we realized that nature had simply put in our laps a laboratory that was unprecedented, because so many buildings had been damaged by the tornado, and most of the people who were working in the area at that time were structural engineers, so it was a particular interest. The structural damage caused by the tornado. We realized in the literature that there was really nothing that would help a designer of buildings against wind resistance. There was a lot of myth in the literature, wells being sucked dry by a tornado, chickens being plucked clean. I don't know what happened to the chickens, but there was a lot of myth, but very little that, say, a building designer could use in designing buildings for wind resistance.
Now, there was a tower. There's a building still standing in Lubbock that if you go stand at the base, you can see where it was twisted during the tornado.
Exactly. That I guess it's known as the Metro Tower today.
I think it is.
It was a Great Plains Life building in 1970. And yes, it's probably the tallest building that has been impacted directly with an F5 or EF5
really?
Tornado. And the building was somewhat twisted, but not endangered. The thing that caused the twisting, it would hit broadside on the west side by the tornado, but the north portion of that has a concentration of elevator shafts, so that is structurally stiffened, and it caused the building then to simply twist a little bit. That was one of the last riveted connection steel buildings, and I think basically what the distortion did was simply took the slack out of the rivets, space out of the rivets. I don't think there was much straining of material in there.
Now, in the wind science engineering program, they over the years they've developed the storm shelters that we see. Everyone sees them, and ads for them, and
whatever on TV, but they actually have to, the design actually has to be cleared through the program here at Texas Tech to...
Well, it's not a regulated industry. That is, the Texas Tech has been principal developer, and we still have a sizable program trying to improve the quality of storm shelters and monitor the quality of storm shelters. So that's the primary purpose of the National Storm Shelter Association, of which I'm the executive director. And we write standards and then have a program. We affix a seal to shelters that say meet the standards. And that gives it's kind of a good housekeeping label, if you will, that assures the consumer of the quality of that product. Unfortunately, there are shelters being produced that are not scrutinized very closely, but I think we're making a lot of progress. But there's no agency. Now, if they get a grant, a FEMA grant for offsetting the cost of the shelter, then seemingly there are some things put in place that would address the quality of that. But there's a lot of disconnect because FEMA furnishes the money but turns it over to the state, and then the state turns it over to local jurisdictions to implement. And in that process, some disconnects occur, and in some cases, quality of the shelters is very closely monitored. Other cases, not. But it's not a regulated industry as yet.
Now, speaking of constructing shelters that will keep you safe during tornadoes, not only is the wind from the tornado so dangerous itself, also debris is extremely dangerous. And one of the things that Texas Tech is very well known for is its tornado cannon. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is and why it's so important?
Indeed. Texas Tech for a long time was the only one doing that kind of research. So we developed here the launcher, or cannon as it's sometimes called. And we, our researchers, first of all, developed the design criteria, that is, decided what missile should we be able to withstand in order to be safe. And we were doing a good bit of development type testing different products to see whether they would withstand the debris impacts. When the 1998 or 99 tornadoes occurred in Oklahoma City, and that was the first grant program that FEMA put in place, said we'll help you provide some funding to augment the cost of the shelter. And we had by that time some prescriptive designs in a FEMA booklet that if followed, they would meet the criteria because they had been tested here. But a number of manufacturers got into the picture because now there was a demand for storm shelters that they hadn't realized before. And they said in Oklahoma City then, if it's a manufactured shelter that's not in compliance with, not according to one of the prescriptive designs in the FEMA booklet, then you have to have it debris impact tested at Texas Tech. So that kind of put us in the business mode for testing shelters, and it has continued since. And we were very busy at the moment simply showing shelters that testing and showing which shelters do meet the debris impact criteria.
In terms of shelters, how well was Lubbock prepared when the tornado hit compared to, you know, let's say if a tornado were to hit tomorrow, would people be prepared? I know my house doesn't have a storm shelter. I don't know if it needs one, but how well would the community be prepared if one were to hit tomorrow?
It's a good question. I think we're better prepared than we were in 1970 because no one expected a tornado in 1970. So there are a number of shelters now, and there are a number of published instructions as to how to best protect yourself. And even if you don't have a storm shelter, there probably is what we might describe as a place of refuge in the house that's the safest place, usually in the central part of the first floor,
awesome.
Be it a hallway or a closet.
All right. I'm sorry, Dr. Kiesling. We're out of time. We've got to go on into a break. But we've been talking with Dr. Ernst Kiesling from the Department of Engineering. Thanks a lot for being with us here today.
You're welcome.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Joshua Cook. It was a busy weekend for Texas Tech Athletics. Let's start with Red Raider softball. Texas Tech hosting the Texas Tech Invitational, welcoming in McNeese State, Jackson State, and Northern Colorado. Red Raiders split the weekend series with McNeese State and Jackson State and down Northern Colorado in its only game against the Bears on Sunday. On the baseball diamond, Texas Tech baseball trying to rebound from a rough road trip in Florida, and did they ever. After dropping the Friday opener 6-5 in 12 innings to LaSalle, Tech came back to win the next two games of the weekend behind stellar pitching performances. Trey Masek threw a complete game shutout on Saturday, registering 12 strikeouts, no walks, and no runs allowed in the start. Red Raiders would win that game 3-0. Then on Sunday, Matt Withrow followed suit with a performance of his own, Withrow going 7 innings of scoreless ball with a career-high 8 strikeouts. Tech put some big runs up on the board for Withrow, scoring 7 in the game en route to their 7th win of the season, improving to 7-5 overall in 2013. On the hardwood, the Red Raiders playing TCU for the second time this season on Saturday, and the result was the same as the first. Tech winning this one 72-63, sweeping its first Big 12 series since 2010 and snapping a 9-game losing skid in the process. Red Raiders are back in action tonight against Kansas in Lawrence. First tip is set for 6 p.m. and the game can be seen on ESPNU. For the ladies, it was a trip to Manhattan, Kansas on Saturday, and in the end, Tech falling short despite another big night from senior Chyna Brown. Brown scoring 22 on 9 for 14 shooting from the field, but it would not be enough in a 68-62 loss to Kansas State. Lady Raiders fall to 21-8 overall and 11-6 in league play. Tech is back in action tonight against the Oklahoma Sooners inside the USA. That does it for the KTXT Sports Update. I'm Joshua Cook. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
DG loves this song, that's why I picked it for his segment.
What is this from?
Oh my goodness.
It's The Doors, come on. Jim Morrison.
Oh, is it not from a movie? No. Okay, never mind. I'll stop asking questions.
Well, we'd like to once again thank Dr. Ernst Kiesling for coming in and speaking with us. Gave us some fantastic insight into the 1970 tornado, the wind engineering program here at Tech, the tornado cannon, which actually I kind of want to go shoot the tornado cannon. I think that'd be fun, but
I don't want any of us anywhere near the tornado cannon. I feel like that's very irresponsible. Especially DG. I feel like he would start to rule the world.
He's such a weather buff.
We want to thank you, DG, for being here this morning.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much. We just really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're now joined by, hold on, I got a long intro here for him.
Oh, he wrote his own intro.
Derek Ginter is the GM of KTXT-FM and is a member of the South Plains Storm Spotting Team, a volunteer group that works at the
behest
of the National Weather Service. DG is also part of the ABC 28 Storm Team, working with KMAC TV meteorologist Ron Roberts as Storm Team Unit 2.
Shout out to Ron Roberts, I guess, right there.
Yes.
Represent Ron
He's
Roberts.
He's also our morning producer every single morning.
So if you hear any mistakes on the show, it's usually my fault, and I'm up to 2 today, so my bad.
So far, I think it sounds good.
I didn't hear any mistakes.
Oh, good.
So DG has some really, so many awesome stories about chasing storms.
Well, I am a member of the South Plains Storm Spotting Team, and I prefer the term storm spotting as opposed to chasing. There's a lot of people out there that chase weather, and they have various reasons for doing so. Research, the thrill, they want to take videos, take pictures, and that's fine. Primarily what me and the South Plains Storm Spotting Team are doing is we are literally the eyes on the ground for the National Weather Service as part of their volunteer, their Skywarn volunteer program. There's a lot of technology that's involved in detecting severe weather, and in a moment we're going to have one of the meteorologists from the Lubbock office of the Weather Service here to talk a little bit more about that. But basically what we do is we try to either help detect before the radar does in terms of Doppler. If we see something in the clouds that the Doppler's not seeing, we'll radio that in. We can also confirm different kinds of severe weather. In my particular instance, I'm really good at confirming the hail size because I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's really bad. I've been at this for more than 20 years, and I'm to the point now where I can tell just by the sound of the hail hitting the car how big it is. And you don't want to be in baseball or softball-sized hail, and I've been in that way too often. In fact, there's actually a teacup size, I think, is an official size the Weather Service uses. Once it gets bigger than softball, the next is teacup. But anyway, but yes, there's a lot of chasing involved. And I tell people that it's important what we do because we're helping to assist the Weather Service in getting warnings out earlier and confirming the weather as it's happening.
How did you get involved with weather spotting?
Well, I, like so many young people living in this area at that time, I was scared to death by the 1970 tornado. I had no ideas what tornadoes were at an early age, but you know, growing up, I learned before we had these fancy color-coded systems that you see on the corner of the TV screen when the local weather guys are doing their thing. Back in the early days, they had just a little tornado graphic. And I noticed that there was always a tornado graphic on the in the TV screen whenever there was bad weather, and I wanted to learn more about that, and so I did. As I got older, I knew several of the folks that were involved in the program here in Lubbock. That program got started as a result of the Lubbock tornado. I've always been interested in weather. I've had an interest in radio. I am an amateur radio operator, and that's one of the things that we utilize quite a bit here in Lubbock, the Lubbock area, is our two-way radio so that we can relay directly what it is, report what it is that we're seeing. So it was just a combination of several interests, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So when I think of storm chasing, or as you say, storm spotting, because I don't know a whole lot about it, it takes me back to 1996 and Twister with Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. So what I want to know is, how many times have you been riding in the back of a pickup truck with a R2-D2 type figure?
With a Toto?
Yeah, Toto, exactly.
That's not what we do. There are some researchers. We had some, I think we still have a few here in Lubbock, here at Texas Tech, and also University of Oklahoma, where they try to, you know, put sensors in the path of the storm and hope to collect more data and more information. I've never been in the back of a pickup with Helen Hunt, although
I have.
There are worse things you could do, I suppose. The one thing I do point out to people is, you know, oh, DG, I want to go out with you next time you go out. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but you're going to be bored to tears, because thank goodness the norm for chasing in these parts is you spend hours and hours driving, burning, you know, lots of gasoline, putting hundreds if not thousands of miles on the car, and you see nothing but rain, or you see nothing but maybe some large hail and some gusty winds. Fortunately, most of the storms in our area are not of the tornadic variety. However, when they are, they can be very spectacular and very scary. So I'm always careful to tell people it's not like the movie Twister. Every time we go out, we don't see, you know, an F5 tornado. It's just a nice drive across the South Plains usually.
So what is the worst storm that you've ever seen, spotted, whatever?
I think the high point of my career so far has been the April 2007 Olton, Texas tornado. And I actually, if you go to our website, ktxtfm.org, I've posted some chase video that I made. We had a very large wedge tornado. It managed to miss just about every community that it was near. This storm started near Littlefield, Texas. The funnel cloud formed southwest of Olton. It went south of Olton, curved around Olton, and then as soon as it got east of Olton, became a tornado and went due north, and it missed several other communities. It was a very long-lived tornado. It was on the ground for over a half hour. I think it had like a 45-mile path. It was a very rare, very large tornado. The good news was there was only just a couple of injuries. It damaged some houses near Olton, and that was the extent of the damage. It was basically out in the middle of nowhere doing no harm but just destroying cotton plants. Unfortunately, that same storm, after that tornado dissipated, this same storm went and developed a second tornado, which hit Tuya and killed two people in the Tuya community. So that was the high point of my chase day, and I thought it was going to be another bust. I didn't think anything was going to happen, and I got myself into one of the hairiest hairballs of chasing in my career so far. I was stuck between softball-sized hail and a tornado. I couldn't stay put because I'd get beat to a pulp by the hail, so I had to follow and parallel this tornado. And it was not a very good move on my part, but I got some pretty good video as a result. But I've posted all that on our website if people care to look.
DG, what's the most dangerous part about storm spotting?
I'm glad you asked, Kira. It's actually other drivers. Other people on these highways are crazy. I mean, you know, farm-to-market roads are made to move farm implements and get crops to the store and all of that. And even in good weather, driving in West Texas can be a very perilous and dangerous thing. You add bad weather to the mix, and it doesn't improve much. People just don't know how to drive in bad weather.
So if you're out on the road and you see a tornado, what do you think about hiding under overpasses?
I think Jody James is going to talk a little bit about that, but overpasses are definitely not a safe place to take shelter. And he'll probably take issue with what I'm going to tell you. If you're out in the open countryside and you're in your car and you're safely getting away from the tornado, keep doing that. Drive away from the storm. Get out of harm's way. There was some video that was shot back in the late 80s, early 90s on the Kansas Turnpike of this TV crew, and they were actually being followed by the tornado, and they were well ahead of it and decided to stop and take shelter under a bridge. They could have stayed in their car and been safely miles ahead of the thing. So I tell people, if you're out on the South Plains and you see a tornado, get away from it in your car. Your car is your best opportunity. Now, having said that, if you're in Lubbock, Texas, in 5 o'clock rush hour traffic, guess what? Your car is the worst place to be. Get into a substantial shelter, underground, a basement, a sturdy building. Put as many barriers between you and the storm as you can.
Now, with storm chasing, you mentioned the University of Oklahoma. I know there's, I don't know if it's still on Discovery Channel, but I'm guessing it'll start showing up here in the next month or so. It's called Storm Chasers, and the University of Oklahoma has this huge tank that they built pretty much to chase tornadoes. Now, when you're storm chasing, do you ever, in the situation of a tornado, because tornadoes can turn their directional path very quickly, did you ever have the fear of a tornado turning on you and all of a sudden you had to do some just fast and furious kind of driving with your Suburban?
Yes, I have. In fact, that Olton tornado I referred to earlier, I was in a very difficult position where there was a very large hail core behind me. And so I had to stay ahead of the hail, but if I went too far, I could find myself in the path of the tornado. I was trying to parallel that tornado. Instead of going east, it went due north for about 25, 30 miles, and then it started on another easterly course. And the last thing I wanted to do was to be paralleling this thing with a tornado to my left, only to find it getting bigger and bigger because it's coming towards me. So yeah, that's one of the difficulties about storm chasing is knowing where you are in relation to the danger of the storm.
I did want to ask you this because it just came to my mind. Mm-hmm. When watching the show, it's a very exciting show to watch because it's the thrill of the storm and stuff like that. But do you think shows like that could maybe be bad as well because it gives people the idea that they themselves can go out and chase tornadoes when these people chasing them are actually professionals that have the equipment to chase them?
I do. I'm biased. I approach this from a public safety perspective, and in states to the north, in Oklahoma and Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, there's a term that we use. It's called spotter convergence, and you'll have a single thunderstorm, which is the only storm for miles around, and literally hundreds of people with cameras on that storm. And these highways in the middle of the country are not meant to be parking lots, and I know that there's been some places in the country in the Midwest where local law enforcement has been quite concerned about the number of chasers that are out and about because they're creating a more dangerous situation than the storm is. There's bus tours you can pay to actually get a tour, and these buses will follow severe weather. They'll you know, the goal is to try to get you to see a tornado. You're free to move about the country. That's one of the liberties that we have in this country, is you don't have to have a passport to go into adjacent states. But it is concerning, especially to the law enforcement community, about the public safety issue that it creates. I've seen a lot of people do some really squirrely things when severe weather is about on the South Plains.
Are we out of time?
Just about. Okay. I think we're fading into the music even now. But again, you can go to our website.
He pushes the buttons.
KTXTFM.org, and I have some footage there that you can look and see what it's like from a firsthand perspective of chasing severe weather here on the South Plains. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for having me on. DG. We'll be right back.
Well above average mild temperatures in the upper 40s and lower 50s across the South Plains this morning will warm even more and give way to a warm and windy afternoon as highs approach the mid and upper 70s for most of us, though there could be a few 80 degree readings and maybe even warmer than that south of the city, similar to your Sunday afternoon highs. And along with these rising temperatures, you can expect stronger winds, possibly gusting over 40 miles per hour later in the day, leading to brown skies, numerous areas of blowing dust, and pretty difficult to walk on campus. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT forecast. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Sorry about that. Satan got into our audio files and has messed them up, so that bump music was just static. I'm sure it was going to be a really nice weather-themed song, though.
It scared me. I thought, like, something was going to start crawling out of the microphones all of a sudden.
Okay, well, we're here with Jody James from the Lubbock National Weather Service. How are you doing today, Mr. James?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Awesome.
And Jody James serves as the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the Lubbock Office of the National Weather Service, originally from Granite, Oklahoma. Jody completed his weather degree at the University of Oklahoma in Norman. He was a TV weatherman in Amarillo and Springfield, Missouri. Jody joined the NWS in 1992 and has been in the Lubbock office since 1994. So you've been here for a while watching the weather of the South Plains.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long, but the years go by pretty fast. Yeah, I worked down in Beaumont, got to see Hurricane Andrew. We missed the storm, but came up here in 94 and been here ever since. So.
What's it like working, and you've worked in Beaumont, you've worked in Oklahoma, so you've seen the severe weather. How does it compare to the South Plains, Lubbock?
Well, where I grew up in western Oklahoma, the weather out here in West Texas is pretty similar. A little more active east. We're on the edge of Tornado Alley, if you look at the statistics. So you go a little bit further west in New Mexico, and you really drop off of the tornado activity. So, yeah, it's pretty active here, you know, all across the southern plain states. We've seen a little bit of a shift just in the last 2 or 3 years, more activity down in the southeast part of the country. But I think that's temporary. That's just the randomness of weather. We'll be back with lots of severe weather here. We've had a couple of down years, but, you know, my son just went to the University of Oklahoma, and I told him, you know, pay attention there too. Just like in Lubbock, you know, severe thunderstorm and tornado watches are issued. You need to pay attention.
Okay, this might be a stupid question. I'm just going to go ahead and get out of the way. I have never heard of tornadoes in any other country except for the United States.
There are some. You know, we don't always hear about those here, but, you know, in Spain, Australia, parts of Europe, there are a few tornadoes. We're definitely, in terms of that kind of weather, the most active area of the world. We see, and you could probably say that for all types of weather, there's not many places on the planet where ice storms and blizzards and tornadoes and everything come together. So that's why I think it's important that we get good warnings and forecast out to protect folks. And, you know, what we're promoting is a weather-ready nation, meaning that individuals, businesses, families, just take a few proactive steps to be ready for weather. Out here, it's mainly severe weather is our biggest threat.
Okay, so I'm from Houston, and we only deal with hurricanes, and you get like a week's notice or a couple days so you can know to clear out. But with tornadoes, there's no warning. So what freaks me out is, like, is there a good chance for us to have tornadoes here in Lubbock? Or because I've been here for 3 years, haven't seen one. Thank Gosh.
Yeah, we have about the average, and it goes up and down quite a bit year to year, but we average about 18 across our 24-county warning area, which is around Lubbock. So a lot of those are the small-end tornadoes, the EF-0s, which, you know, have winds maybe less than 100 miles an hour, and they're out over an open cotton field. So, you know, unless you're watching, you know, minute-by-minute weather, you may not notice that. But there's always a chance we could get a Joplin, like a Joplin, Missouri tornado that we saw last year. We're definitely in the target for that. Lubbock's a big target out here, you know, over 100 square miles at least if you go out to the edges of the city. So we need to be ready for that, and sometimes that involves, you know, what I like to emphasize is have multiple ways to receive weather information, number one. And that's easy to do now. You know, there's a lot of cool Android or iPhone apps. You got weather radio, which I encourage everyone to have. And have that program for your county. So have ways to get weather information and then know what you're going to do if there is a tornado watch and a tornado warning. A lot of folks in Joplin did the wrong thing. Some folks in Joplin did the right thing and just died anyway because it was an EF5 tornado. Some did the wrong thing and got lucky.
What are some of the biggest reasons you see for injuries occurring during tornadoes?
Well, tornadoes, you know, especially when you get you go up the scale, it's just flying debris. Most people that die from tornadoes, it's, you know, if you look at most structures, it's a lot of wood. So you get wood shrapnel, you know, flying around at sometimes, in the Joplin case, of 200 miles an hour. So it's like a grenade going off. You know, homes come apart pretty quickly when you get winds, you know, above about 150 miles an hour. And then, you know, obviously head trauma, we see a lot of that. So, you know, the idea is to just identify your safe place. You know, you may not have a basement or cellar, but identify a place that you want to go to, whether it's an interior bathroom or hallway, and recognize that, communicate that to your family members. Have a little bit of a plan before weather strikes. If you're, you know, some people, the boss at our office, a meteorologist in charge, Justin Weaver, he was part of the service assessment team for Joplin. They went in there about a week later and interviewed a lot of folks. Some people were literally diving for a cubby hole or whatever their safe place was as their home was coming apart in Joplin. If you wait to think about what you're going to do at that point, it's way too late.
Okay, I, like most tech students, live in an apartment where there's no basement, no cellar. Where should I go?
Well, there's a couple answers to that. You know, the first answer is you want to be on the lowest level away from windows and interior room. But there's some warning signs that things are getting worse. A tornado watch is issued hours in advance. You know, maybe change your activities that afternoon. You know, maybe, you know, it's better to be in a more solid structure. I would rather be in Home Depot or Lowe's or someplace like that. Now, that's not always safe. People died in those type of buildings in Joplin because it was such a rare, you know, violent tornado. But, you know, you're better off, or maybe if you know a friend who's got a sturdier building, maybe has a basement or cell or something, you know, think about that in the afternoon. You know, the watch is a time to change your afternoon activities a little bit. Stay a little bit more in tune with radio, TV, the internet, whatever you have, and watch the weather a little closer. Don't go about your daily activities like nothing else has changed. Now, the warning, which is issued by our local offices, means that we think it's occurring or imminent. We think the danger is in that box that we draw on the map.
And Texas Tech has the Tech Alert system, which I'm sure most of y'all just get the tests. Any of you listeners who go to Texas Tech, you just get the test to make sure that you are receiving the messages. But you can sign up for that. And if you haven't, you need to, because Texas Tech will be alerting anybody. Does Texas Tech have tornado sirens?
They do. The city of Lubbock does not, but the Texas Tech does have sirens. So, you know, I would encourage students at Texas Tech to familiarize yourself with this whole plan. You know, don't wait until the afternoon of or minutes before, because then it's a little bit late.
Well, at the National Weather Service, what do y'all do? Like, when y'all issue a warning, what is on the radar? What are y'all looking at that says, hey, we need to issue a warning now? This is turning into a tornado situation.
Well, we just use our experience. The two primary pieces of information are, like what Derek does, storm spotting, the volunteer firemen out there in the small communities and police and sheriff's offices that help, groups like the South Plains Storm Spotting Team. That's the spotters in the field. That's one piece of the puzzle. The other is radar. We can use some other things like satellite, but those don't help a lot for tornadic situations. So we really look at those two. We weigh the evidence, and if we think the threat is high enough, we'll pull the trigger on the tornado warning. Of course, you know, whether we issue the warning or not, if folks don't get the warning, number one, and then don't do the right thing when they do get the warning, you know, know, it doesn't matter. A lot of folks we saw in Joplin didn't, however they got the warning, they didn't always react immediately. And some people never got the warning. They didn't know there was a storm. And so, you know, you want to educate yourself to some extent about your local rules, you know, educate your family, and, you know, just be prepared. Think ahead of time. And that's what this week, Severe Weather Preparedness Week's all about.
Now, you mentioned that some people in Joplin, Missouri didn't get the warning. Now, how's the National Weather Service maybe trying to get the warnings out more to social media and stuff like that now?
Well, we don't really issue our warnings on social media, but preparedness outreach efforts like this, where we work closely with the media to try to get that and do a lot of safety talks. So, you know, just there's a lot of ways to get information now. There's really no excuse not to have those multiple channels.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Jody James. We've been talking with Jody James from the National Weather Service here in Lubbock, and we'll be right back after this break.
Underwriting support for KTXT-FM is provided in part by United Supermarkets. Serving West Texas and the Texas Panhandle, United Supermarkets has 10 store locations in Lubbock, including United Supermarkets, Market Street, Amigos, and United Express. More information is available online at unitedtexas.com.
Welcome back out to Rocky Johnson Field on the campus of Texas Tech University. Josh Cook alongside Clay Elmore bringing you Red Raider softball as Texas Tech takes on Northern Colorado here in the Sunday afternoon finale of the Texas Tech Invitational. 2-1 pitch on the way from Wilkinson. Now Perez will lift this one into left field. That'll get down. Coming on home will be Shelby Johnson and make it 1-0 Texas Tech.
It's going to be one run. And here comes the throw, and there's going to be a second run as Lexi Elkins gets a single with two RBIs. And Adriana Perez hacks up that first one, skies it into right field. And Mikey Kinney is going to tag up and is safe at home plate on the throw. A very close call, but is safe to move the score to 5-4, the Red Raiders, as Adriana Perez adds to her RBI total.
So 1-2 pitch on the way. This one's driven to left field, and that one will get out of here. A two-run shot by Nicole Hudson. And just like that, this ball game is tied up at 6 apiece. Wilkinson ready, the 1-1 pitch. And this one's rolled to left field. It'll get down, fair ball. Kenny is going to score. Johnson will score. And the Red Raiders win in walk-off fashion as Lexi Elkins, the freshman, comes through with the RBI single.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT-FM 88.1 The Raider. Let us know what you think about severe weather and what you plan to do if we get struck by a tornado or a flood at The Raider 881 on Facebook or on Twitter.
Now, how was everyone's weekend? I know Julie and Josh were doing softball all weekend long, but we heard that great little clip of it. That sounded really exciting, even though I don't really like softball.
Well, talking about weather, now we're gonna have elevator conversation about weather. It was beautiful this weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend for softball, and the wind was blowing a little bit, and that can always affect softball, especially when it's only about 220 feet out to center field. So if the wind's blowing, it's always the rule when you're calling sports, if the wind's blowing out, expect a lot of fly balls to make it out of the ballpark. When the wind's blowing in, it's going to be a lot of fly balls in the ballpark. But the worst thing about Lubbock is that the wind swirls. And so when the ball gets up in the air, you can see, and if you ever see the outfielder running in circles underneath the ball, it's them tracking the ball, trying to figure out where it's going to come down. So it's always interesting to watch the outfielder's reaction, or they'll start in center field and move over to left by the time the ball comes down. So it's interesting how weather affects sports.
My microphone nearly fell down. So that was.
Why'd you do that?
I feel like if you're watching an outfielder, circle under the ball, it's probably something you've done in the last 24 hours that is making you see that.
Probably. Well, no.
I've never seen a ball sit there and circle.
Well, no, it's not
like this.
It's
I'm
not,
sorry,
not
I don't
like
understand.
This. No, it's not like
they're turning their fingers in circles so fast that you can't even see them. I feel like it's probably maybe a split second type thing, but that makes all the difference in sports, I suppose.
No. I give up. Okay. I give up on trying. Anytime I say anything sports, like no, that doesn't happen. Ugh.
Okay, so I'm all over Facebook. I'm our social media person here. And SGA is apparently not, what does it say? Let me just read it right off of the Daily Torridor's Facebook page. It says, SGA is hosting a hearing tonight, which was last night, in which Bridge the Gap and Raiders Voice made complaints against Raiders United campaigning practices. Although Raiders United was announced the winner of the election, the result is unofficial. No decision will be made regarding the election results until the election committee has been closed, has had closed discussion. And you can read more about that on the Daily Torridor's website. Has anyone else heard anything bad about election coverage or
voting? It's just mainly that they faced the committee last night and that they essentially was some practices that are not condoned by SGA. And so essentially
they're accused or have they been...
I think they're accused.
Proven.
I think they're accused right now. They were accused and then they had to defend themselves last night. And... You know, my thing with SGA is they've had a big issue with trying to get the credibility with the students, and this doesn't help their case at all.
Well, the president from the Raiders United is someone that I went to high school with, and he's a really good person. He's a real big sweetheart. I don't see him ever fudging an election, so I don't know how accurate
people
this is.
People said that about Lance Armstrong.
Okay, but I went to high school with him. I know him. I've known him for like 7 years now. I feel like he's a good person. I don't think he would do that.
I heard that one of the candidates accepted money from big tobacco lobbyists.
Now, is that a joke?
Yes, it's a joke.
Okay.
Thank you, Marissa.
Whatever. If I'm not sure, then maybe someone else isn't sure. So I ask the dumb questions for
our
listeners.
One report I did hear was that while they were campaigning, they were handing out candy boxes with their names on there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They were handing out little pieces of candy that just said
vote for
SGA.
I don't.
And then they
I
had their
know.
Names on it. Is there something wrong with that? Because I don't feel like that's wrong.
You're bribing voters. That's what's wrong with it.
I know that last year.
I mean,
because
I got candy, but I didn't vote.
What?
Thank you for being with us today, you guys. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in every Monday and Wednesday morning and giving us your ear for an hour. We will be back Wednesday, and we'll be talking about spring break and what we think you should do on spring break and how not to get kidnapped, how to plan and not run out of money. We have lots of great topics. So remember, like us on Facebook at the Raider 881. Hashtag us on Twitter. I don't do the Twitter, but we'll talk to y'all Wednesday. Done, sleeping on the job. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till local underwriting support for KTXT-FM comes from Fazoli's, offering a menu of pasta dishes, oven-baked flatbread pizza, fresh chopped salads, oven-baked sandwiches, and more. Fazoli's has two locations in Lubbock, 4008 82nd Street and 19th Street in West Loop 289. More information is available online at fazolis.com. Fazoli's, fast, fresh, Italian. La 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 lasagna! Let's get together, yay! Take a break from the daily grind.
Let's be friends.
Log on and like us on Facebook.
I like it!
The Raider 88.1 will supply your feed with all the Red Raider news, photos, and videos you could ever want.
I know we can do great things together.
Comment on our page and give us your feedback at facebook.com/TheRaider88.1.
You can do it!
And keep listening to KTXT-FM Lubbock. Together! Here comes the sun.
Hi, I'm Cutter Martin, bringing you quick, accurate, and dependable weather updates right here on KTXT-FM. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881, or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXT-FM. KTXT-FM is a service of Texas Tech's College of Media and Communication. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Guns up, Red Raiders. This is Robert Giovanetti, Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Marketing. You're listening to The Raider, 88.1, KTXT FM, Lubbock.